Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Shreya Agarwal grew up in the world of Darjeeling tea, as his family owned the Selim Hill tea estate. Last year, he graduated from Bits Pilani, majoring in mechanical engineering and chemistry, and decided he wanted to apply his knowledge to supporting the Indian tea industry. His company, Alt Carbon, has set a goal to permanently remove 5 million tons of carbon dioxide annually by focusing on the Indian tea industry alone, using the enhanced rock weathering technique. We talked to Shreya about Darjeeling, about Alt Carbon, and also what it would change for tea planters here. Shreya, so I'll start by asking you about your connection to Darjeeling and tea.
I was born and brought up in Siliguri, which is a town that falls under the Darjeeling district. And being brought up there, of course, during the first 20 years of my life, I used to visit the tea estates very often, and I was very embedded in the tea industry ecosystem, but I never realized what condition the tea estate industry, the entire industry was, especially because you're naive, you're young, you don't understand the struggles that people are going through. It is actually post my education, which I did from, Bits Pilani, chemistry and mechanical engineering, that I actually realized that what are the different problems that the entire industry is going through. And that was really heartbreaking. There are only 87 tea estates in the world that have the GI tag of calling themselves Darjeeling tea estates. And almost all of them were up for sale when I completed my graduation. And that was shocking. So for me, during college itself, I was part of multiple startups, was founding team member in a consumer tech startup, which was Sequoia funded, then headed on to another Accel and Lightspeed funded startups. I remember this one actually very specific time, which was around 2.5 years back, when I headed back to Darjeeling from Bangalore, and my family told me that we'll also have to sell our tea estate because it's not profit making. I realized at that point in time is that it's important for people to step up and try to save the estate, try to create additional sources of income for not only the tea estates of Darjeeling but also the tea estates of Northeast India and overall India. And in general, agricultural communities would benefit a lot from it. So that's primarily when I started to head out in the entire quest of finding additional sources of income for agricultural communities. And carbon credits seems to be a very promising avenue for that. So that's how the journey started.
It's interesting. Your brother decided to start Dorje, and you chose to go after the carbon credits with Alt Carbon. Led you to the? I mean, yes, you talked about the things that you were looking at and being bothered by, but specifically with the education you had just gone through, and what year was this, and why carbon? Why did you zero in on that?
So I graduated just last year. So in terms of why carbon, we went through a lot of different ways of being able to do it. As you mentioned, my brother Spursh, he started a distribution channel to actually solve the same problem. And the same problem can have so many different solutions. And for me also, how I was thinking about it is that what can be more sustainable? What can actually bring Darjeeling into the forefront of climate action when it was at that point, and still is, at risk of climate change? So how can that happen? Because, our mother keeps talking about this when we are at Selim Hill Tea Estate, that earlier you did not see the crows at such an altitude. Earlier you did not see so many other, for example, the monsoon rainfall is now very concentrated rather than spread across, which was happening earlier. There were a lot of these climate change outcomes that you used to see in the tea estate. And for us in the family, this was a very common, dinner topic about thinking about climate, thinking about air, water, etc. And of course, that was one part of it where we wanted to actually you know, create a social environmental impact with something related to climate change. And the family, by the way, had been studying about it for the last 4 years, of different ways of doing it. But carbon credits specifically seems to be a promising outcome for creating that additional source of income for not only the TA state manager and the owner, but also create lots of core benefits to the local communities that we would work with. Because if you're working with on carbon credits, you also have to involve the entire community and do it with them. And whenever you're involving the community, it leads to not only, an addition in their income, addition in their social welfare, addition in lots of their own living standards, because you have to do, parallel projects like a waste management project and a couple of others that helps the entire community as well. So that seems to be very satisfying. I mean, I'm still in my 20s, and I thought that if there could be something that I could do for the community in my 20s itself, why not take that risk and be as ambitious as you can? Because it was a nothing to lose kind of attitude for me, and still is, by the way.
But in a nutshell, if you had to describe what Alt Carbon does and...
Yeah, so we are, a permanent carbon removal company. We are based in India, based in Darjeeling, working with the TA states of Darjeeling to begin with. And the idea is to stretch across the agricultural communities of India, of Bharat. The idea is to start with enhanced shock weathering, which is considered to be the most permanent and the most scalable carbon removal method in the world. Our primary moat is to be able to do it in India at one of the lowest costs in the world and the highest scale, which is scientifically proven by our different research papers as well. I can share that with you. We are a permanent carbon removal company, starting with enhanced shock weathering, starting the TA states of Darjeeling, and focusing primarily on carbon removal in India.
And how does that impact directly the community? See, let's look at Selim Hill. Is that where your pilot project is taking place, at Selim Hill?
So our pilot project is taking place in another TA state that the family owns, which is called Kamna TA state. So I'll tell you how it impacts different stakeholders. Firstly, we use an alkaline feedstock called basalt, as you might have seen in the video. Right. Let's start with the first step of the entire supply chain, which is sourcing the basalt dust. Now, for sourcing the basalt dust, we work with crushers for whom the basalt dust that we source is waste for them. So they are gaining additional income because we source all our dust from them at a premium price. So, of course, I've personally gone to all of these areas, Pakur, Rampur Hat, Birbhum, and these are areas which are, they're very rural areas in different ways, and any kind of additional income for them matters. So that's the first step. Second is you're unlocking new transportation networks between a Pakur and a Darjeeling, because there's a lot of transportation that you have to do with all the basalt dust that you're sourcing. And by the way, transport accounts for a lot of emissions. So we also subtract every single transport emission from our final calculation. We started with trucks, but in the future we'll go with rail. And so that's the second bit where you're also unlocking transport networks. Now the third, which is one of the most important aspects as per me, the basalt dust that we're using, it's USD organic certified. It's, the Soil Association certified. PRA has done, the Research Association has done its own study on it. It does two things to the soil. It helps in alleviating the soil pH. And second, it improves the crop yield because it also adds calcium, magnesium, phosphorus. I can share the entire elemental composition and how every single element does different things to the soil. Now in India, every 1 in 3 farmland has acidic soil. So there are two kinds of farmers. One kind of farmer who doesn't know what the soil acidity is like or how that really affects their crop yield or they're just unaware. And why they're unaware? Because they know that they won't have the financial feasibility to do anything about it, even if they're aware of it. And the second part is, people who are actually large plantation holdings, which is like the tea plantation, which know that the soil is acidic or basic, and they apply soil nutrients to neutralize the pH or alleviate it as per the crop's demands. Now, our pitch to both of these farmer categories is very simple, that, we're going to give you free soil nutrients. We're going to first help you in analyzing what your soil is like, not only pH, but also carbon content, organic, inorganic, nitrogen, phosphorus, everything, the entire shazam. We'll help you analyze that first. And then we will be able to curate a best fit deployment strategy for you on the basis of what, how you would like the crop yield to be, how you would like the soils, you know, targets to, how you, how soon you would like to achieve them. And then we give the soil nutrients to them for free. We help them deploy it on their land. And by the way, we not only give the alkaline feedstock, but we also give organic manure free. And overall, it helps in improving the crop yield and also, you know, helps in alleviating the pH, which of course creates additional income because of the crop yield increase. So far in the pilot, we've already seen around 40%, up to 40% increases. It is between 25 to 40%, depending on the crops that we're talking about, tea, rice, bamboo, other three types of crops that we experimented on. Our main priority is to be able to scale very fast, because not because of the company's ambitions, but because it is important for us to scale to reach net zero faster. We have net zero targets as a world to achieve. And in India, especially, we're the first for-profit, you know, rock weathering company to be there. So it's important for us to lead the way. Now, for us to scale, tea plantations seems to be a good fit because of the scale that it has and gives, because on average, it's 400 acres. However, we don't miss out on the fact that it's also important for us to help out the smallholder farmers. So generally, whenever we tap into a single tea estate, we also tap into the neighboring smallholder farmers and give them additional soil nutrients to apply it on their land, which also helps them see a greater crop yield increase. So that's there. Every tea estate has 90% women partners that we work with. So what we also do is training sessions, you know, empowerment sessions. For example, a waste management drive was done at Salem Hill.
How open were they to, you know, trying it out, especially something like basalt, which the dust, which is just not even from where, you know, the immediate area, and it comes from elsewhere. What sort of resistance did you face, or what sort of, how was that, how did that go?
Yeah, so when I started, my family, I mean, they themselves told me that, you know, whatever you're talking, it's not making sense at all. We're not going to give you any acre of the tea estate for applying this basalt dust. So it was a huge challenge. So it took a lot of, you know, scientific research. It took a lot of research paper sharing. It was a lot of knowledge sharing with the Tea Research Association of India to actually be able to convince people. So it was not an easy ride. It was a lot of friction. And especially when that happened, then I had to also convince the smallholder farmers, which was the rice paddy owners, the bamboo cultivators, to do it. What helps, of course, now that we have seen very good results, people keep calling me up and telling me that ki hamara khet itna hara ho gaya hai, kitne crop yield increase ho gaya hai. That is a very surreal feeling to have and a very satisfying feeling to have. And now, of course, there's a lot of pull around that entire area. They want us to operate in their tea estates, their rice paddies, because everybody thinks that, you know, I mean, people still think that who is the stupid boy who's giving us free soil nutrients and not asking anything in return. When I was giving that orientation session, they were asking me that, you know, aap kya vote mangne aaye hain? And I was like, nahi, main aapka vote nahi mangne aaya hu. I'm just here to help all of you out, and all that I'm asking in return is that, you know, we work as a community, we work together. Aapko kuch bhi doubts hain, kuch bhi cheezein hain, aap mere se poochhein directly, and main aapka hamesha, I'll be there, I'll be around, and I'll answer whatever things you have. And yeah, that's, but so yeah, there was a lot of friction, but we managed to get our point across, and it was all very science and data driven, because that is the only language that at least my family understood.
And then all the and how often is a soil test? It's also sent to Bangalore to the Indian Institute of Science for testing, right? And how frequently do you do that? And what is the change you're seeing?
So I operate out of the Indian Institute of Science in Bangalore, where we had Dr. Shambhudha Mishra and Dr. Ramana Chakraborty, who lead all science efforts for us. I mean, it's a constant cycle of testing. I mean, the labs are always testing the samples that we have, because we do a lot of testing. We do three kinds of testing. We do it pre the soil deployment, where we understand the baseline scenario and we understand how much, you know, deployment needs to be done, what is the best fit strategy, etc. And what is the actual, can we even work with the soil in terms of rock weathering, because there are specific conditions that needs to be met for rock weathering to happen. And then once the basalt is deployed, then again, we take another set of samples to understand, you know, what is the overall deployment that has happened, and to create another layer of baseline where you have the soil as well as the basalt. And then you take it after the monsoons, you take it every 3 months. That's primarily the cycle that helps you understand the delta between what happened before and what happened after. So we have our own unique estimation technique within Alt Carbon that we developed in record time.
Is it a one-time application? And how does that work? And How feasible is that, and how expensive will it be, you know, in the future if you, you know, if a farmer has to adopt it?
Our mission is, you know, simple, that we are a farmer first company, you know, and we want to always prioritize what the farmers want. I mean, coming from Darjeeling, coming from the tea estate background, I've seen how, what kind of a carbon status the tea estates have, and it's very low because nobody even applies additional carbon like an organic manure or biochar on their soil, which has reduced the crop yield massively. So for us, the plan is to keep helping them in topping up whatever basalt or whatever alkaline feedstock they want to alleviate the soil pH and keep helping them do it. So as I mentioned, whenever we, you know, analyze the soil pH or the soil carbon or any other parameter for them, we create a multi-year kind of a best fit plan for them. And that helps us, you know, come back to them after 6 months, after a year, and, you know, again, help them deploy more amount of basalt or more amount of manure or whatever they require. So it's something that, you know, we as Alt Carbon bear the cost, and we will keep doing that for a couple of years till we are able to come up with the, you know, right strategy on how we can scale at the same time reduce our own costs. But at the moment, the next couple of years, the idea is to be able to bear that cost. But yeah, absolutely, we will have to top it up every 6 months or every year, depending on the soil samples and the results that we have and the targets that the farmer has.
And what are you hoping to see? How are things at Kamala Estate now? Do the farmers feel it's an additional job for them, or are they able to see, you know, are they able to see the difference already? What is the time it takes for people to start noticing the impact on and the change?
In terms of rice, it takes around 4 months because that's basically the harvest cycle. So we started deployment in January, and now that May has ended, it's actually the time when we have already, you know, analyzed what is the crop yield increase, and we're going for the next harvest season. We've already seen very positive results around Kamala, which is on rice paddies completely. And now we're going for a larger deployment. So the first deployment was on 15 acres, but now that the farmers were so happy that they offered 150 acres of land immediately around Kamala. So that's a very good proof point for us that, you know, on the kind of vote of confidence that our farm partners are now giving us. On tea, it takes slightly longer. So on tea, you know, there are two types of bushes that you can apply the basalt on. One is, so generally a tea plantation gets pruned. Some part of it gets pruned and cut like a bonsai plant, 20-25% every year. So we tried our pilot on both the pruned plantations and the unpruned plantations. Our unpruned plantations are the one that have given us on tea up to 25% yield increase. But on the pruned ones, it'll take us longer. So we'll be able to understand the crop yield increase maybe after another 4 to 5 months, primarily because it was in pruned state before, and it will take some time for the leaves to grow up and show yield again.
How far is the source of basalt dust from Darjeeling, and how accessible is it in terms of its availability? You know, I mean, is this some sort of a renewable source? How does that work with basalt?
Sure. So between Northeast and Northwest, between the Rajmahal traps and the Deccan traps, we have around 4,000 billion tons of basalt that's available. So in fact, India, again, coming back to the entire India and Bharat story, which ultimately motivated me to do this in India, India is the perfect geography to do enhanced rock weathering in. It gives you high temperatures, high rainfall, has abundant feedstock. You can do it at low cost and at high scale, and which is why companies are looking at. So, and it's important for us to tell the India story. But for me personally, it's very important that, you know, India leads the way for carbon removal because it can. Even with respect to basalt, the availability that is there, it is abundant to not only fulfill the carbon removal that can be done in India, which is around 150 million tons that can be done in India, but also it can be used to do it in the neighboring countries, in countries like Nepal, Bhutan, Sri Lanka, and a couple of others where, you know, you can always source the feedstock and do it. We are pitching to JP Morgan and Shopify and Mitsubishi Corporation in the US. They are very excited. In fact, they want to not only buy all the carbon pests that come out of the tea estates of Darjeeling. By the way, all of these Fortune 100 companies have huge mandates to buy carbon removal credits. So a JP Morgan has a $200 million mandate. A Shopify has a $50 million mandate. There are two big alliances, Frontier Climate Alliance and a NextGen Alliance, which is $1 billion alliance each, which actively buy carbon removal credits. So by August end, we'll get our first, we'll be delivering our first set of carbon credits to them. So it's a very exciting time for us.
This is wonderful. All the very best, Shrey. Great chatting with you.
Produced by Adavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.